Thank you, Pastors Ken and Becky. I love you. I bless you. And church, you look good today. Tell somebody, say, he's talking about me. Come on now. He's talking about me. But the song says, Waymaker, miracle worker. How many know that he can always make a way? Because he is the miracle worker. Now, I've been to Nicaragua on different occasions. I plan to go back again. But right before I went there the last time, my good friends, Ed and Jenny Cook, great missionaries. Ed and Jenny, along with 18 others, packed in a van. That's a packed van. 20 of them coming down the mountainside there in Nicaragua. And the roads are so narrow you can barely pass. But as they were coming down the roadside of that mountainside in the middle of nowhere, in their lane was a van jacked up being worked on. And so they had to go around them on the other side. But as they were going around them, all of a sudden they looked up, coming around the bend. There's a large Coca-Cola truck. And Brother Ed said it was no more than 25 to 30 yards away. He said I was doing at least 45 to 50 miles an hour coming down that road. I looked up and I saw that Coca-Cola truck. We did not have time to go on a 40-day fast. We didn't have time for an all-night prayer meeting. Come on now. But the 20 of us looked and saw the truck. The time for just one word. What was it? Jesus. It said, all I'm thinking of God, I was, gee, come on now. That close. And guess what happened? You can call them. I'll give you the number. The missionaries, Ed and Jenny, and the 18 others, they came to the truck. They could not go to the other side because there was a cliff. Guess what happened? He's the waymaker. He's the miracle worker. And guess what? The van and all 20 went through the truck. Come on, shout amen. Woo! I'm talking about my God, your God, our God is a miracle working God. If you believe that, raise your hands up high and shout, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. Hallelujah. I feel good this morning. What about you? Our God is a miracle working God. I just got a text of the day of something that happened back in January. I was at a church in Indiana back in January. It was on a Sunday night. We had a long prayer line. It must have been maybe 100 people or more. I was praying for this one and this one and this one and this one. I prayed for one lady. The power of God hit her. And she fell out in the power of God. If somebody falls, that's great. If they don't fall, that's still great. It's not in the falling, but it's in the receiving. Come on, church. With the power of the Lord hit her, she didn't give me a CD. That's a courtesy drop. Come on now. But the power of God hit her. It just so happened to be around 7:30 that Sunday night. And about 9 o'clock, as we were leaving the church, this one man said to the pastor, my wife is still out. She's been out for an hour and a half. He said, go ahead, pastor. I've got a key to the church. He's one of the elders. And when she gets up, I'll lock up. We'll go home. Well, at midnight, she was still out. So he picks her up, takes her out of the car, puts in the car and comes back, locks up the church and goes home. They get home, he picks her up, takes her inside, and puts her in bed. She's still out. The next morning, he decides not to go to work. But about noon, all of a sudden, his wife comes around. And she stands up. And he flips out. Why? Because Sunday night when she came up, she was stooped over, bent over so bad. But that morning, about noontime, she stood up. And she was supernaturally healed of crippling arthritis. Come on, shout amen. And if you're here today and you need the Lord to touch you in any way, guess what? He is here. He is the way maker, the miracle worker. He's the light in the darkness. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Ooh, hallelujah. Well, God is so good. God is so good. Well, how many have your Bibles with you this morning? Why don't you just hold them up high and torment the devil? Come on, church. And say this with me, please. Say, I'm a warrior for the Lord. With my two-edged sword. I'm armed and dangerous. Back up, devil. I'm coming on through. Now, church, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to shake it in the devil's face. No. I said, in his face. Some of you doing this number here, no wonder you got problems, honey. He's to be under our feet. Come on, show you. Hallelujah. Well, God is so good. God is so good. Would you turn with me, please, this morning to the Gospel of Mark? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, this Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Mark, chapter 10. Oh, God is good. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. Are these some great college students? From Liberty? Thank God for Liberty. Hallelujah. I paid a lot of money into Liberty. Come on now. My son got 2 degrees from Virginia Tech. Have mercy, Jesus. And 2 more from Liberty. Come on now. I got to share this with you. I'll never forget. I just got through paying off the last of the last of the last of everything he owed. Oh, and school bill. I was feeling good. I was feeling so good. And I hung the phone up. I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from where? Liberty. And they're asked for a donation. Come on now. I said, give me a break. My God, I just gave you thousands of dollars. Come on, show you. But anyhow... Woo! Mark chapter 10. I want you to shout this after me, please. Say, this is my moment. Come on now. This is my moment. Again, this is my moment. Mark chapter 10, beginning by verse number 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples. Now, why is that so important? We don't find in the Word of God where Jesus spent much time at all in Jericho. Because he brought them out of Jericho. Why is that? Because in Joshua chapter 6, there was a curse that was placed upon the city of Jericho. And Jesus was going to bring his disciples out of a cursed place. And he'll always and ever bring you out of a cursed place. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. What are those next 2 words? Tell me now. blind Bartimaeus. Come on, say that, blind Bartimaeus. You see, Mark wrote this portion of Scripture, and Mark called him a blind man. And all the people called him a blind man. But Jesus never called him a blind man. Jesus never calls you by your problems. He always calls you by your potential. You better start over again. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to minister for just a few moments, or as long as it takes, along these lines. Don't let your miracle pass you by. I said, don't let your miracle pass you by. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. And Father, I believe today because of your word. Your word is spirit and life. Because of your word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank you now. We bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. Don't let your miracle pass you by. Years ago, I heard the late, great Reverend Oral Roberts make this statement. He said, miracles pass us by every day. Now, when I heard him make this statement, I said to myself, maybe so, but it is time for that to stop. Our God is a miracle-working God. Come on, church. He has never changed. What he was, he is right now. What he will be, he is right now. The eternal past and the eternal future of our great God is rolled into the here and now. He's a right now God. But the Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples and the great multitude, they came out of Jericho. And as they were leaving Jericho, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway side begging. Have you seen people like that before? You see them in the corners. Help, help. But you see, here he was back in those days, but he was not holding a sign. But Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging, help me, please. Somebody help the blind man. For the blind man, please help me, help me, help me. But nobody would stop to help Bartimaeus. But he continued to cry, help me, please, somebody. But all of a sudden, Bartimaeus heard the footsteps of the passersby. And the footsteps were getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And Bartimaeus knew something was happening. And Bartimaeus said, what's going on? What's happening? What it is? Amen. He began to ask him, come on now. He said, what's going on? Somebody slowed down just long enough and said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he's passing this way. Look at it. This is Jesus of Nazareth, and he's passing this way. But notice in the next verse, it says, And when he heard, come on, say that please. When he heard. Now this one word heard, in the original Greek, it does not mean with the hearing of the ear. But the word heard in this verse of scripture means and having an understanding thereof. But what did Bartimaeus have an understanding of? He knew that this Jesus of Nazareth was somebody special. Why? That he heard about what Jesus had done. Heard about Jesus had walked upon the water, turned the water into wine, and fed the 5,000, and raised the dead, and cleansed the leper. He knew all about that. But when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, now what did Bartimaeus know? Bartimaeus cried out, what? He didn't cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, because that is a natural term. And back in those days, there are many men in Israel with the same name, Jesus. And so he did not cry, Jesus of Nazareth. But notice what he cried out. He cried out, saying what? Jesus, thou son of David. That was not a natural term. That was a messianic term. Because Bartimaeus knew, he knew the one who was passing by. Who was this one passing by? It was a virgin-born son of God. It was the prophet's Messiah. It was the Holy One of Israel, the righteous one of Jacob. He knew it was the Lord manifest in the flesh. And so Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, why is this so important? I'm talking about don't let your miracle pass you by. Because according to Christian historians, this was the very last time that Jesus ever passed that way. He never went that way again because from there he went straight to Jerusalem, to the cross. My friends, don't let your miracle pass you by. You've got to seize the opportunity of a lifetime and the lifetime of an opportunity. But he cried out, what? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And all the people, they started saying, calm down, Bartimaeus. Chill out. Take it easy. Don't shout, this is the Presbyterian church. Come on now. They say, calm down. They're trying to silence him. But the Bible says that Bartimaeus cried out even the more. I was noticing last night, different versions and translations and paraphrases, where it says, and he cried out even more so. He cried out louder. He cried out with great gusto. I like that one. Hallelujah. But what did he cry? He cried out the same thing. What was it? Jesus. Come on, say that beautiful name. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, he was shouting out that name. And Bartimaeus was saying, nobody is going to put out my shout. He kept on crying. The Bible says he began to cry. He began to cry. It wasn't a one-time thing, but over and over and over he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But notice what happened. The Bible tells us, and Jesus stood still. Have you ever had Jesus stop in his tracks for you? Faith will stop him every single time. I was in Miami, Florida several years ago at Central Bible Church, and they had two Sunday morning services. And the pastor said, now, Brother Danny, you've got to turn the first service back over to me no later than 10:30. We've got to get them out and get them in for the 11 o'clock service. And so here was at 10:30. And God was moving. People were getting saved and healed and filled and blessed and touched. But I was trying to be obedient. And so at 10:30, I said, Pastor David, would you come? He goes, He said, keep going, keep going, keep going. And so 10:35, 10:40, 10:45, 10:50, 10:55, people were coming in already for the second service. And I said, Pastor, would you please come at this time? See, he gets up. I was trying to be obedient. He gets up, begins to move toward the platform, and all of a sudden heard something. Not with a natural, but I heard it with the ear of faith. I heard it with my spirit. I said, what is that? Something was crying out. I looked on the main floor, looked in the balcony, and I said, what is it? Who is it, Lord? I looked around, looked around, looked around. Then I looked back, about five rows back. I said, dear lady, what is it? What is it? What is it you're believing God for? And she said, I just told the Lord, I'm not going to leave this service until I get my miracle. Her faith was stopping Jesus. I said, what do you believe in God for? She said, we've been married for 18 years. And for 18 years, I've been wanting to be a mama. I said, honey, I said, you'll be great with child in just a few weeks. And guess what? She was. Come on now. Hallelujah. But she was said, I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. You've got to have the same attitude of faith. It doesn't matter what people may say or do. What matters is this. I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If you'll cry in faith and keep the switch of faith turned on, guess what? You'll stop him in his tracks. And Jesus stopped in his tracks. He stood still and commanded Barnabas to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now, I like that. But the Message Bible says, cheer up, boy, it's your lucky day. Come on now. And the Bible tells us in verse 50, and he, Barnabas, casting away his garment, he arose and he came to Jesus. He cast away that garment. Now, what garment was that? Back in those days, beggars wore certain types of garments. You could see him from a distance. You would know that he was a beggar. The kind of garment he wore, you would say, he's a blind beggar. But the Bible tells us that Barnabas, he cast away that garment. He was saying, I'm going to need this no more. Because it's a new day. It's a new season. And I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. You see, people had labeled him a blind man. And if people can label you, they can limit you. But he cast away that garment. Won't you cast away your garment? What has held you down for so long? What has kept you back from walking in the greater things of God? You got to cast away that garment. He cast away the garment and he arose. Guess what? It's time to get up. I said it's time to get up. Everybody shall get up. Get up. Cast away that garment. Rise up and go to Jesus. Now notice what happened after that. He didn't go to Peter, James, and John. He didn't go to Andrew, Bartholomew, or Thaddeus. But he went to Jesus. The trouble is this. So many people would say, I need a miracle. But they're going to the wrong person, the wrong place. Go to Jesus. And when he cast away the garment and rose and came to Jesus, Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I would do unto thee? Now that's King James. Now, I don't believe Jesus spoke in King James. Come on now. Maybe so, maybe not. But if Jesus was here today in the flesh in Lynchburg, Virginia, would he say, "What but thou would do unto thee"? He would say, "What you want, boy? Come on now. Come on now." He said, "What wilt thou that I would do unto thee?" He asked a very, very specific question. And he was wanting a very, very specific answer. Yes, is it right? And the reason many people never receive what they need from God, because they never get specific with God. So many times I'm praying for people in a prayer line or wherever. I said, "Well, what do you want?" They said, "Well, whatever God wants." I then asked what God wanted. I said, "What do you want? Come on now." It's time to be specific. He said, "What wilt thou that I would do to thee?" You gotta be specific. I was in Whitesburg, Kentucky, sometime back. As I was walking to the sanctuary that day, somebody blessed me. I mean, they blessed me. They gave me $100 bill. I got happy. Come on now. I think about this and this and this. So I put it in my pocket. Here was in this service. I was praying for everyone. And this one lady was there. I said, "Honey, what do you need?" She said, "More money." I said, "Okay, but tell me exactly what do you need?" She said, "More money." I said, "I know that, but what do you need?" She said, "More money." So I reached in my pocket and pulled out a quarter. I put it in her hand. I said, "Rejoice, your prayer has been answered. Come on now." I started to go to the next person. She kind of grabbed me by the sleeve. She said, "That's not it." I said, "You needed my money. There it is. Rejoice, get happy. Come on now. What else do you want?" She said, "That's not it." I said, "If that's not it, then what do you need?" You gotta be specific with God. She said, "If I don't have $1,200 by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, the sheriff is coming and I'm gonna be evicted and I've got nowhere to go." I said, "Now we know how to pray." I said, "Father God," I said, "bless her. Bless her with $1,200 in Jesus' name. Amen." And the Lord says, "Son, give her that $100 bill." I said, "Lord, have you got plan B?" He said, "Give her the $100 bill." I said, "Have you ever got the bus?" And so I gave her the $100 bill. Now, how much did she need at that point? Now, $1,100. And so the next morning, about 8:45, a friend of hers called her. Now, she was coming from Harlan, Kentucky. Are you familiar with Harlan? The Dukes of Hazzard? Come on down. That's Harlan County. And she was driving through Whitesburg. She called her friend and said, "I was thinking about you a moment ago. And if it's okay, I just want to come by and see you for a moment." She said, "You better hurry up. Come on home." So a friend comes over. They're talking for a moment. Then her friend says, "As I hung up the phone with you, the Lord told me to give you all the money that I've got on me." Guess how much money she had on her? $1,100. Come on now. Woo! Hallelujah. So she had the $1,200 she needed. And so by that time, there's a knock at the door. How many of God's always on time? Come on now. He's Jehovah Nick of Time. He'll show up. He is. He'll show up in the nick of time. Come on now. There's a knock at the door. And she gave the sheriff the $1,200. Come on, shout hallelujah. When she gave him the $1,200, how much money did she have left? A quarter. Come on now. Why is that? Because he's the God of more than enough. Come on, hallelujah. But Jesus said, what wilt thou that I would do to thee? He was so specific. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, by faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. What do you need, my brother? What do you need, my sister? What do you need? Whatever you need, He is. Whatever you need, He has. Whatever you need, He can do. I love the Living Bible. And Barnabas cried out, who is it? And the people said, it's Jesus of Nazareth, and He's here right now. Guess what? He's here right now. In the Message Bible, it says, it's Jesus of Nazareth, and He's passing this way. Guess what, church? He's passing this way right now. That was the last time Jesus ever went that way. And let me tell you something. He's passing by this great church today. And I would say, reach out in faith. Lay hold of what you believe in God for. What do you need? Healing for the body? Deliverance for the mind? Healing for the emotions? Restoration for your marriage? Whatever it may be. Cry out like Barnabas cried out. And said, Jesus! Jesus! You see, he didn't whisper. He didn't say, Jesus. No. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I said, don't let your miracle pass you by. Several years ago, I was ministering in Huebo, Tennessee, outside of Chattanooga. We were there in a revival Sunday through a Wednesday. It was the last night, the Wednesday night service. And I was preaching away, having a good time. I'm talking about it was so good that night. I wanted to buy the tape myself. It was good. And all of a sudden, this one young lady comes in holding a baby. I looked at her. I didn't know who she was. The lady sat down. I kept on preaching. But I was being drawn to this young lady. I can't preach it, but I've been drawn to this one young lady. And finally, I just stepped back there. I didn't know her, didn't know who, what she was, anything about her. And I laid my hands upon that little baby boy. He was probably about 5 to 5.5 months old. And I laid my hands upon that baby boy. I said, this baby shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. When I said that, something happened. That mama began to shout. That baby began to shout. Come on now. That whole church got shouting happy. I wanted to shout, but I didn't know what they were shouting about. Come on now. And then the pastor, Brother Hughes, says, Brother Danny, can I tell you what's going on? I said, please help me out here. He said, this is my daughter, Renee. And she called me this afternoon and she said, Daddy, I know tonight's the last night of this revival, but I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. I'm coming and bringing Hayden, that's the baby boy's name, because I believe Jesus is going to touch my baby boy with complete healing, health, and restoration. Hallelujah. She drove 5 hours to get to that service. He had a condition called bundle brain blockage. It's a very rare, rare, rare condition. Maybe 1 in 1,000,000 or so. But guess what? God healed Hayden. And when Renee took the little baby boy back to the doctor says, this is not the same baby. Because this baby is perfect. It's healthy. It's normal. Come on, shout hallelujah. Because Renee said, I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. Why don't you allow that same faith to rise within you? Come on, shout hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Look at me, church. What do you need from the Lord? What do you need today? What do you need today from the Lord? Don't let your miracle pass you by. Don't let your healing pass you by. Don't let your answer pass you by. Don't let your deliverance pass you by. Why? Because this is your moment. Do you believe that? Would you stand with me, please, at this time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shindrebo salabarakata lamataya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. Father God, I sense there are people today in this great sanctuary and they're hurting. Father, there are many that have gone through some rough and tough times. There are many that are hurting physically, emotionally, and other areas, Father. But God, you are no respecter of persons. And Father, even as Barnabas cried out in faith, I believe today that some of the people that are here, they're crying out in faith. And they're crying out, Jesus, 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 thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Why don't you raise your hands up, church, and just say that name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on, say it. Jesus. Come on, don't stop. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, if you got a soundtrack with some soft music, play it. If you do, yeah. Crank it up and rip the knob off. Come on now. Jesus, come on, say that name again. I've got one of my dear friends. His name is Christopher Alam. I was telling you, Pastor, briefly about Christopher. He's originally from Pakistan. His father's one of the leading generals in the Pakistan Army. He's raised Muslim. But to make a long story short, he got born again. He's a powerful man of God. I'll show you some pictures a little bit later. And Christopher was just over in Tanzania. Some large crowds. It began to grow every night. The first night, 50,000. By the last night, they read at 300,000 people. That's a nice size crowd, come on. And all day long, Christopher had been praying, God, give me the right word. Give me the right message to bring forth. But Christopher said, the Lord said, son, it's going to be okay. But what do I say? What do I preach? But nothing came to me. So he gets to the crusade that night. Time to preach, but nothing was coming. He said, Lord, what do I do? 300,000 people out there in need. People lost and demon possessed and everything else. The Lord says, I want you to tell them to start saying the name of Jesus over and over and over. That's what Bartimaeus said. He didn't cry out one time. The Bible says he began to cry out. And Christopher said, I want everybody tonight, 300,000 people, to start saying the name of Jesus. Come on, say it. Come on, church. Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. Again, Jesus. No, we just do that for, 5 seconds? But that night, 300,000 people were crying out the name of Jesus, for over half an hour. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Christopher told me that night, he said, people by the thousands dropped to the knees and cried out, Jesus, your Lord. Over 200 totally blind people were healed that night. Come on now. Demon spirits came out of people. They were set free because of the name. And that's what Barnabas did. He called out upon the Lord. He cried out that name, Jesus. Raise your hand one more time. Come on, church. Right now, you're sitting by the roadside of life. You're sitting by the highway of life. You've got needs in your life. It could be you need an answer from God. Maybe you're at the crossroads of your life. You need direction. Cry, Jesus, 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 Jesus. What is it? Maybe your son, maybe your daughter, maybe your grandson, your granddaughter is out in sin, rebellion. Now by the powers of hell, cry out, Jesus, Jesus, set them free. Hallelujah. Would you reach over and take the hand of the person beside you? Could you? Come on, church. Everybody reach over. Everybody reach over. Reach over right now. You might yourself turn around to somebody behind you. Come on. Everybody just turn around. Everybody join hands. Everybody. We're not getting married. We're just praying. Come on now. And I want you to pray for the person on your right and your left or those around you that the Lord will minister to them. Come on, Father. I thank you right now that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've not changed. And Father God, even as you brought healing to Barnabas, you brought the miracle to Barnabas because Barnabas was crying out, I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. Father, I pray right now for every man, every woman, every young person that is here, that they'll begin to cry from that upstairs of their being, I'm not going to let my miracle pass me by. This is my moment. This is my moment. Father, let supernatural healing come into their bodies. Touch them, Lord. Let them never, ever, ever be the same again. Because somebody shall praise the Lord. Woo, glory to God. I'll say it again. This is your moment. This is your moment. And before we close, this is my first closing. How many of you believe that I should preach like they did in the Bible? Come on now. Do you believe that? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20 that the apostle Paul, he preached till midnight. A young boy fell out of the window and killed himself. Paul raised him from the dead and then preached till dawn. Come on now. But let me ask you this question. Where do you stand with God? I never have and never will close the service without asking the question. Where do you stand with God? Look at me. Where do you stand with God? Do you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and ready to meet God? Well, I hope so. You're not ready. Well, I think so. You're not ready. 39 times in the Bible we find phrases like this. You can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you pass from death unto life. There's many things in life I don't know. I don't know who's going to win the presidential election in November. Hope it's not, you know who. I'm not going there. Come on now. There's many things that I don't know. But pastor, there's one thing I do know. I know that I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved and I'm ready to be God. If I died right now, God forbid, I want to hang around for at least another 72 years. Come on now. To torment the devil and love all my grandbabies. Come on now. But if something should happen, I have that assurance in my heart. I know that I know that I know that I'm ready to be gone. What about you, church? If your life ended today, are you ready to stand before Him? Well, I'm not ready now, but I'll be ready. I'll be ready. I'll be ready soon. I was in Mount Bellevue, Texas a few months ago. It was a Sunday night. I gave an altar call and several people responded. But I kept on. I said, don't wait, don't hesitate. Don't say it another day, another time. But I kept on with that altar call. Come on, throw out the net. Finally, one man came down. Gave his heart to the Lord. And the pastor told me later, he's been coming to this church for many years. He's a good man, but he's never been saved. After the service was over that night, he went to work. He was a watchman in a local factory. About an hour into his shift, guess what? Some robbers came in to rob the place. In the process, he was killed. But guess what? 2 hours before, hallelujah, woo, he was born again. What about you, church? Do you know that you know that you're ready? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you've never met Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, you've never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. If you've never been born again, you've never been saved, and maybe you're away from the Lord, maybe you've grown cold, maybe you've backslid, and you need to make a fresh start. If that's you, let me pray for you. So I'm going to count to three this morning. As I count to three, if you're here and you've never been saved, you've never said, Jesus, come into my life and take over, be my Lord. Are you away from God? You want to make a comeback. And you want me as a man of God to pray for you. As I'm counting to three, just raise your head up high and then put it back down. As you raise those hands up high, I'll pray for you. But more than that, Jesus will get a hold of your life and you'll never be the same again. So as the count of three, for now, we should be with God. He's going to make it right. Just slip that hand up high. Put it back down. Do it now. One, put up. Put the hand up high. Come on. Put it up high. Two. Is there one? Three. Amen. Look up, look up. Smile, come on. I would encourage you next week, bring somebody with you to the house of God. This is the truth statement, that only 2% of people in the church world today ever invite people to come with them to the house of God. Don't be part of the other 98%, but be a part of the 2%. I want to encourage you to bring somebody with you next week to the house of God. I love you, church. Pray for me. I've got a lot on my plate now. Plan to go back to Nicaragua. Plan to go back again to the Dominican Republic and to India and so forth. I want to keep on going because He's coming. Amen. I love you. Thank you, Pastor Ken. Thank you, Pastor Vicky. I love you. It's yours, Pastor. God bless.
Disease from a side effect from the injection of cortisone.
Yeah.
Most of the other side effects are gone, but I'm still battling this heartburn.
Yes.
I just ask you to pray for that.
Stretch your hands for a pastor right now. Father God, you said in your word, and you cannot lie, you've magnified your word above your name. You said they shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And I lay my hands upon my brother according to your word. And I believe even right now that the healing anointing, the healing virtue is flowing into my brother's body right now. Every one of these side effects is leaving his body right now. He's been strengthened and made whole from the top of his head to the soles to the tip of his toes in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, Pastor.
Love you too, brother. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, church. I love you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Take it away. Here it comes.
Appreciate you coming to Lynchburg.
Here's sermon number two coming up now.